and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Mama on the Edge Show is up on the video section.
Yes.
And also on my Facebook and my thing.
Your Facebook. Yes.
Yes, there, too. Okay.
And you can leave comments on the Facebook page,
yes,
too.
Yes, thank you for all your nice comments on talking about Ken Melman coming out yesterday. You can also email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer. Ingenue Rebecca Taylor,
yeah.
Or me, Stephanie Miller. On the big show today, actor-director Rob Reiner, our buddy, our pal, who has a new film out. John Fugelsang joins us in hour number three for Fridays with Fugelsang. Rebecca!
Sup, slut?
Hey!
Hey, hi!
Here's a fun fact I did not know about the lovely Rebecca Taylor, our associate producer here at the Stephanie Miller Show. She was a child actor! And so, being that we're having Rob Reiner on today, are you ready for your close-up?
Yes, I'm ready, Miss Miller.
You were in what film when you were a child?
I was in Secrets in the Attic, based on The Dollhouse Murders, which is a children's novel.
And what happened to your film career that you ended up in such a horrid position working with me?
Well, like most child actors, they end up working in progressive talk.
Did you? And you held up a 7-Eleven at some point, I'm guessing.
Yeah, me and Todd Bridges or something.
Dana Plato.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Did you have stage parents? Did you want to be an actor? Tell me the whole story.
My parents would drive me to L.A., but they weren't like crazy and eccentric, like big
they weren't the
low-ends.
Yeah. They weren't the low-end parents, no.
Right. And so I would audition quite a bit when I was 13.
Are you ready for your audition with Rob Reiner today?
Oh, yeah, I'm totally ready for this. Mm-hmm.
Or should we use the scene that we have clipped off the internet?
What?
Of your, what's the film
what
again?
Did you guys edit my scene?
What's the film again?
Secrets in the Attic.
Secrets in the Attic,
based on The Dollhouse Murders, which was a children's...
Starring then Rebecca Baker, and how old were you?
13.
13, and you were in the role of who here?
Luann. I played the special sister.
And you're still every bit as special and petulant. Let's listen
you.
To Rebecca's scene.
Have fun, honey.
I won't. I hate Mrs. Peck. I want to go to Aunt Claire's with Amy.
And you stayed with Mrs. Peck before and liked it.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's exactly the way you talk to me. I don't want to go steal more paper for you.
Can I
steal your own paper?
In my own defense, yes, my acting is so bad. So
you know what,
if you want
though?
A good laugh, watch
you
it.
You act circles around the people that are playing your parents, though.
Thanks.
Yeah, those people. Woo, a little bit wooden. Sorry.
And if people want to see, I think the entire movie is posted up on the internet. We posted it up at Stephanie Miller's website.
You're welcome.
No, yeah,
your Facebook page.
Effing lot, Steph.
Your Facebook page.
Do you know how embarrassing this is? No, seriously, it's so bad. And I can't even believe they paid me. I got paid for that.
Yeah. No, you were very bratty and petulant. Good job.
Thanks. Good job.
You weren't really acting. I hear that almost every day. Put your own water, whore.
Yeah, F you.
See? See my point? All right. So that was a little Friday treat for all y'alls. All right, we have a big show coming up. Rob Reiner has a new film out.
That's right.
Also, he and his wife did great work, as you know, on No on Prop 8 out here, in favor of gay marriage. So anyway, I was on the TV yesterday.
Yes.
Cenk is filling in for Ed Schultz, or he was yesterday. We had a rousing discussion on the whole. Yeah, he was, Cenk was beating the bejesus out of Ken Melman, which I understand, and he also had Mike Rogers, gay activist,
yeah.
Blogger on, who, you know, and you do kind of forget that they did run kind of the biggest gay bashing campaign that we've seen. You remember in the 2004, I mean, that was the wedge issue. Gays were the wedge issue, and so, you know, understandably, a lot of people are upset. I was just saying I sort of welcome everyone to the fight at this point. I think it's, as I've said, a really critical civil rights matter, and I welcome everyone to the fight, right-wing asshat or not. I said I think that he's, the problem, though, is that he's still Republican.
Yeah.
I said, this is not a party. that's interested in gay rights of any kind. And, you know, that was my, I said the enemy he's sleeping with is not a man. It's the Republican Party. That was bon mot. Well, I was just saying, how do you go, oh, George Bush is not a homophobe? He allowed this to be run. It was a blatantly gay-bashing campaign. You remember, it was on the ballot in how many states, right, in 2004?
Mm-hmm.
They knew those flyers were going out with the two men on the, you know, two grooms on the cake. And
absolutely.
And, as I've often pointed out, a lot of people don't realize that when he was governor of Texas, he wasn't just for gays not being able to adopt. He was for taking kids away from gay couples. I mean, you know, and you pointed out yesterday, Chris, I'd forgotten, Karl Rove, who was behind this whole thing as usual, was behind the whispering campaign in Texas that Ann Richards was a lesbian.
Absolutely.
Who wasn't a lesbian, but it is widely credited. It was what helped George Bush win in Texas.
Right.
I mean, this is the kind of dirty politics and fear-mongering and dividing that, you know, they've always played. If you recall, Ken Melman, back in 2005, talking about President Bush. Ken Melman, back in 2005. Yeah. Magic. I love how we had Rebecca's scene just like that.
President strongly believes that marriage in this country ought to be between a man and a woman.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Thomas Roberts, MSNBC anchor yesterday.
I think for probably most heterosexual Americans, this isn't going to come as a big deal. But I think for millions of gay and lesbian Americans, me included, find this to be kind of a shocking admission, especially when Melman's leadership and the positions that he held came at a time when he was part of talks that would have put discrimination in the Constitution, when they were ramping up anti-gay rhetoric. And now he wants to come out and say, hey, I'm one of you. So how does he go about trying to get millions of gay and lesbian Americans to believe that he is not just a big hypocrite?
That's, yeah, I imagine
that's a big question.
He has a lot of work to do on behalf of gay rights. I imagine the first of those few appearances may be awkward. Maybe a little bit of awkward in the room, a little tension. Well, thanks for all your help. Where do you even start with all this? Because that's the thing is, I'm what show am I doing today on XM Radio? I'm doing
Michelangelo Signorelli.
Yes. Who is he also, by the way, he's outed people.
Yes.
And I am not for outing people. I think everybody's, what's our whole Shelley Wright thing? It's, you know, your walk of truth and arc of process and, you know, your backhand spring of veracity and
into your rainbow bridge.
Mm-hmm, into your waltz of authenticity. Anyway, the point is, I don't think that's what I get a little like when people go, you should have done this sooner. You should, because everybody has their own, and I think I've pointed that out. Whether it's Rosie or Ellen or whatever, you don't know if they could have gotten their first sitcom or their first talk show if they'd come out earlier. I mean, it's hard to walk in other people's shoes, as I said yesterday, or hush puppies, or loafers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Or tastefully appointed Gucci's.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but but it's just that Ken Melman was so much a part of something politically that was so damaging to gay people and so divisive and so, I don't criticize his process or what, you know, all of that, and I welcome him to the fight. I think it's important that everybody, you know, join the fight because it's such a human rights and civil rights issue, but it's just, I get that people are, they're a skosh bit annoyed.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to say today, Michael, right, is that he's not for outing gays necessarily, he's for outing hypocrites.
Hypocrites, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, Mike has been out his entire career. So
yeah.
That's where he's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying if he can do it, everybody else can do it.
Yeah. Rebecca Taylor, you seem less interested in the conversation ever since it's not about you and your acting career.
Right. I took that cue from Stephanie Miller. Oh, what? You're not talking about me?
Ouch.
I will
that
say,
was funny.
I will say on the gay thing, like we've talked about on the show, everyone's gay. I mean, it's 2010. Like, it's so, like, 1985 to even be concerned about gay issues.
I know. Well, that's
issues.
Everybody's gay!
Apparently.
And people who still care about that, it's a religious thing, and that's it. And we've discussed, how does it affect you? How do gay peoples affect you if you're really bothered by them?
Well, that's what you hope. We just get to a point where it's just that nobody has to make an admission or not or talk about it. It's just something that's a non-issue, and that's what we keep saying. If you go younger and younger in the polls, to me, that's the most heartening thing in the CNN poll, not just that support for gay marriage has, you know, is in majority now in the country. It's that in every state, not just blue states, people under 30 are overwhelmingly in support of gay marriage. So it's, you know, it's only crotchety old folk like me that's still even talking about it. Let's just move on. All right. So, by the by, we're going to dive into the right-wing world in a moment because isn't it Glenn Beckapalooza this weekend?
It is.
Oh, boy. Isn't that exciting? Mm.
Martin Luther Beck.
Mm. So we talked about yesterday the Muslim cab driver that got stabbed for being Muslim because good job getting all this the hatred ginned up like you normally do.
Yeah.
You know. It's all these, the IA, as we said, last race, homophobia, now it's Islamophobia, fill in the IA, the BIA, whatever, how much of the word do you take? You know what I'm saying.
Phobia.
Yes. This one, the latest from yesterday, in the latest spate of anti-Muslim incidents over the last 2 days, an intoxicated man entered a mosque in Queens Wednesday evening, proceeded to urinate on prayer rugs. The man shouted anti-Muslim epithets and called worshippers who had gathered for evening prayer terrorists. One witness told the New York Post the man was clearly intoxicated and had a beer bottle in his hand at the time. So this is the kind of atmosphere that the Fox News is getting ginned up. Isn't that nice?
That's neat.
That's lovely.
Oh, and Fox News? One story on Ken Melman yesterday.
I heard that. I heard there was a bit of tumbleweeds in barroom doors.
Yeah.
Huh. That wasn't news, huh?
No,
the
not
Bush
at all.
Campaign chairman and former head of the RNC. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, and many of his...
Must have been a heavy news day, I guess. No time for that.
Many of his former co-workers are now staff members on Fox News Channel, and they still didn't cover it. So they could have gotten
It wasn't news to them, I guess.
They could have gotten some great insight from a lot of their contributors, but they didn't go to their contributors.
One would think. Interesting. All right, 17 minutes after the... It's so rare when we found out some sort of gaping hole in... journalism at the Fox News, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
We'll be back with the gaping hole in journalism that is right-wing world next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You people make me sick.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. 23 minutes after the hour. Some not-so-good economic news. We will talk to economist Christian Weller coming up next hour. John Fugelsang joins us for hour three, Fridays with Fugelsang. He is in Florida with his mommy. And actor-director Rob Reiner, political activist. All right, 23 minutes.
And I didn't know this about Rob Reiner. Apparently, he's the one who got David Boies and what's his name? Together.
Ted Olson together. That's a magical love story.
Yeah. He's the one that got the ball rolling.
That's a legal dating game.
Yeah.
We'll talk to him about all of that. All right. Cindy in Michigan, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Hey, Cindy. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. This is quick. What's offending me about Ken Melman now? He comes out. That's great. But he's still using the same divide and conquer Karl Rove tactics. He made a statement yesterday telling gays to vote for Republicans.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who can protect gays from Muslims who commit the violence against the gays.
Oh, he said, yeah, I'm surprised the gays didn't find common cause, you know. What did he say? Uniting against Islamic cultures that believe in stoning gay people? I was like, wait a minute, what?
He may have...
You might want to look at what a lot of... Ask Matthew Shepard's family about that.
Right.
Ask, talk about the right-wing Taliban here, right? And their views on gays.
Well, Stephanie, he may have given up or come out as gay, but he still hasn't come out as a Karl Rovian.
He used to irritate the bejesus out of me during the campaign. I mean, he was really, if you think back, you remember that was the whole thing, that this is what's going to happen if you vote for John Kerry, and there was the wedding cake with the two grooms on it.
Right. Somebody even pushed one of those.
And by the way, John Kerry wasn't for gay marriage, so that's the other thing.
Here in Michigan, they tried to put that on the ballot, and somebody came to my workplace and threw a petition on my workplace. I had to put in a complaint about that person for bringing one of those petitions to put that on the ballot. You know, I had to make an issue of it in my workplace because someone thought they had the right to push that in my face.
Yeah. I mean, Cindy, I guess the only good news is I feel like we have come far, even from them, then on, you know, on gay rights and on attitudes toward it. Because you think, you remember, Chris, Jim Ward, we were here and he's like, oh, boy, why do we have to bring this up now? You know, but they knew exactly what they were doing, the Ken Melmans and Karl Roves of the world, Cindy. They were like, here's when we bring up God's gays and guns, right?
Well, you know? I see him. He's, you know, being nice to gays because he's gay now. This is the big thing for him. But he's still using some other group to be against.
Oh, yeah. Now they're using Hispanic people in Arizona, and they're using Islamic, you know, Muslim people in New York. I mean, you're right. They just find a different group. You know what it is, Cindy? This is what happens with bullies. Like, now that, like, majority support is moving toward gay marriage, now it's like, oh, we got to pick somebody that's weaker now. Now we got to pick a new scapegoat, somebody else to bully, right? And and that's, you know, what I keep saying is that it, you know, this is what I hope the point of this show is. You don't have to be Hispanic to think the Arizona law is racist. You don't have to be Muslim to think, you know, you should be allowed to build a place of worship wherever you want in America. You don't have to be gay, right, to think that everybody deserves equal rights.
Well, I thought the fact that he hasn't given up the tactics is just offensive for me.
Yep. No, that's what I said. I just don't get it. Don't get the whole, oh, I'm going to work within the Republican Party. They hate you! They are not interested. I mean, seriously, look at some of the positions of the Sharon Engels of the world. Mm-hmm. Some of them literally believe you should still be able to discriminate, fire gay people, God knows what else, you know.
Yeah, and there is a plank in the Republican platform against you.
Yeah,
so
somebody asked,
why would...
Someone asked, you know, Ed Gillespie, somebody like, you know, are the Republicans going to rethink? He's like, no.
No.
No. They don't care about you, Ken Melman. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I love that. Oh, he didn't, Ken Melman's. Oh, the Bushes reacted wonderfully to my telling them. It's like, oh, please. Like, they didn't know, and like, they weren't happy to still use you to gay bash in the last election. Let's go to Tom in Los Angeles. It's the whole, oh, the president's a nice guy. I'd like to have a beer with him. It's like, please.
Hey, Steph. First off, I just want to ask you a question. The Republican Television Network, I'm not going to call them by that other word. I'm just going to call them by the Republican Television Network.
Yes.
But I have a question. Do we seem to elevate them by constantly talking to them, constantly making them larger than life? Because I don't watch one.
No.
Conservative show. I just watch all progressive, and I just watch.
Yeah, but you gotta know. Right, but Tom, you gotta know what they're doing. That's why we watch, so you don't have to.
That's right.
I agree, you don't have to. That's why we watch and feed it to you in little bite-sized bits.
You have to know what the opposition is doing so you can fight them properly.
Yeah, there are reasons that Muslim cab drivers are getting stabbed and whatever. You need to know what you know, who is the, you know, ginning up this kind of rhetoric out there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Tony in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you guys this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Listen, I think that Ken Melman should be permanently persona non grata. No excuse, no forgiveness, no letting off the hook ever.
Yeah, but you know what? No, we should be better than that. You know what I mean? I think the progressive side, we're the ones that I was on TV yesterday and said, I am not prepared to, you know, claim moral superiority over Ken Melman because I wasn't a hypocrite. I mean, I think that we have to be the people that are bigger than that. We have to say we welcome you to the fight, you know, and not criticize that you're late or you're this. It's just, but it's the past actions that are, you know, and he says he has regret for them. I mean, we'll see. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If I want your opinion, I'll beat it out of you.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Adam in Chicago. Hi, Adam. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, Mooks. I just wanted to say that I think we need to start throwing up a mirror in front of all of these right-wing neoconservative Christian fundamentalists, because these are the same people who showed up to all of these town halls last summer with signs of the president with a Hitler mustache on, when it's kind of crazy that they're creating all of this fear about homosexuals and this irrational fear about Muslims, and it sounds an awful lot like what Hitler was doing in the 1930s in Germany.
Well, I find it particularly egregious that people that have shown up with a sign of the president with a bone through his nose are having something on the anniversary of the Martin Luther King speech. That's what I think is.
Yeah.
Many people still doing cleanup on the little vomit in their mouth or that whole thing. That's tomorrow, right? It's tomorrow, the big
it's tomorrow.
Bob in Los Angeles. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Steph. Going back to the Melman and the Muslim thing, I was talking to a Christian guy that I worked with the other day about the when the ruling passed, and he was asking me, why are the Christians being attacked by the gays? And my mouth almost dropped.
Huh?
And he was telling me, well, the Muslims aren't being attacked by them. He's like, well, the Muslims didn't busload in buses of people, and the Mormon church is the one that financed this whole thing. And he was like, well, how come the homosexuals aren't attacking the Muslims? That must be their new talking point on the right.
Why aren't homosexuals attacked? Wow, they're trying to pit groups against each other now. Why would – I'm confused. Take us through the logic.
Yeah, does he know that there are also gay Muslims?
Well, I think the logic was that, what's happening is that they were going after the businesses and stuff for the Christians, see?
Yeah.
That were supporting that, and he thought that that was an attack on Christianity.
Oh, when people were boycotting businesses that supported Yes on Prop 8?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
because Muslim churches didn't give money by the bucket load to, to support Prop 8. That's why.
Ah. I see. Yeah, you know what? Our previous caller was right. See, Ken Melman's still running this play about, you should still vote for Republicans because they're the only ones that'll stop, Islamists who hate homos from killing you. What? What? This, who I saw? Oh, did you see the guy, Pastor Terry Jones?
Who?
Or whatever. Whatever his.
Who's he with?
He's the church that's burning the Korans on September 11th.
In Gainesville, Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was on with Chris Matthews yesterday. And, he literally had the audacity to say, well, Chris, they stone homosexuals to death. It's like, oh, you don't care about gays. He's like, are you kidding me? I'm sure he hates gays. He's one of these, far-right preachers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they're doing. This is how it's insidious. Yep. Oh, we're burning the Korans, Chris, because they don't like gay people.
You know what? Evangelicals don't like gay people, too. Evangelicals are behind the stoning of gays in Uganda.
They're
going over there and encouraging Ugandans to pass laws putting gays to death.
Seriously, is he really like, come on, gay people, join us in burning the Koran on September 11th because they hate you. It's like, what? I mean, it really is.
Gays would be beaten if they showed up to that thing.
It's insidious new ways of trying to, pit groups against each other, like they tried to pit blacks and gays against each other out here for Prop 8. I mean, it's really, it really is amazing. I was like, what? What did he just say? He's trying to seem inclusive and, all right. Hilarious. Let's go to John in Spokane. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So I just wanted to call and mention about the Uganda law they're trying to pass. David Bugatti, who is a member of the Fellowship, which is a C-Street organization and lobbyist group, extreme Christian lobbyist group, and they're trying to make it a law in Uganda where you could be imprisoned for life for being homosexual and having homosexual acts with another man.
Mm-hmm.
So just thought I'd point that out, and if anybody would like to
read up on that, that's what Chris was just saying. That please, Christian organizations look the other way, and I mean, it's amazing. Chris asked him, who do you respect? He said George Bush. He said if George Bush called you and told you not to do this, because obviously this might cause death, and clearly, death and violence around the world if they go ahead with this. And he's saying nothing's going to stop him. They're going to burn the Korans on September 11th no matter what.
Right.
You know, Chris Matthews didn't point out to him, George Bush said Islam is a religion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, really, you respect what George Bush thinks, but you wouldn't, you know, not do this if he asked you to. I mean, it's like...
Hey.
Jay in San Diego. I'm in a state already this
morning.
Yeah,
I can tell.
Jay in San Diego, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, folks.
Hello.
I don't know if you guys were fans of David Chappelle's Chappelle Show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But Ken Melman is basically the skit from Chappelle's Show with the black white supremacist.
he's blind and he doesn't realize.
Exactly. Yes. At least he had the excuse of being blind. Melman was just actively working against his own sexuality, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I found that an interesting parallel.
You know, I got to give Melman the benefit of the doubt, though. He says he didn't come to terms with it until, you know, just very recently. So that's what he says. I kind of got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Fair enough. I appreciate your kindness and understanding.
That's the thing. We're the party that doesn't judge.
Right.
We're the party that does not, like, you know, morally say we're superior. That's the whole point, is that they've spent so many years morally judging gays that it's a little hard. It's going down a little hard.
Yep.
Let's go to Dan in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dan.
Hey, Steph, I just got a question. Let's try and figure out who they're going after next, okay? We crossed out the gays. They went after the Latinos. They went after Muslims. What's next? The white chicks? How about the cripples? I mean, who's going to be their next target?
Yeah, well, they are finding new insidious ways. Now it's like new insidious circular ways.
Yeah.
Of dividing and conquering different groups. That's the thing. They feel like, oh, if it's too obvious that we're just targeting one group, how about if we pit one minority against another and let them do the work for us? Hmm? Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hello.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning, Mooks. How
good morning.
Are you? I have been doing some investigation on the interwebs about Mr. Terry Jones. And I have not been able to confirm this to my satisfaction, but there is a rumor floating around the interweb that he was arrested at the beginning of August on child pornography on his computer.
No, dear.
Now, we don't know that.
Maybe he's going to burn the child porn along with the Korans to destroy the evidence.
It's another wonderful piece of, look over here, look over here.
Yes, yes. Exactly. All right. Thank you, Levin. I didn't hear that. But Jeff in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, I'm so tired of this cherry picking the Bible and putting it against other religions. You know, there's lots of verses and phrases, especially in Deuteronomy, that talk about going into the town and destroying everything, including the livestock. I like how the Bible just throws that in as an extra. Destroy everything, including the livestock. You know, the Christian faith, just like the Muslim faith, just like every faith, has an element of it that is destructive, especially to people that are not of the same faith.
Right.
And, you know, it's just ridiculous how they want to cherry pick the Bible to suit their needs.
Right.
You can't say, well, that's in the Old Testament and the New Testament replaces that. Well,
yeah.
So are the Ten Commandments. They're in the Old Testament.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know. Well, did you hear our caller, Super Christian Diane, this week?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But that's what
she, like, when we brought up parts of the Bible she didn't like, she was just like, no, not that part.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, not that part. Yeah, not the part I don't like.
Yeah.
Well, and if Christians can do that, why can't Muslims? Why can't Muslims throw out the part where Muhammad says to kill the infidel? You know,
right.
if we can cherry pick as Christians the King James Bible, they can cherry pick the Koran. Why not?
Well, and many moderate Muslims do. Absolutely.
Jeff, it just goes to the whole point of how ridiculous it is to really have a conversation about making social policy in the, what century are we in? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Based on the Bible, because you literally, there is no logic in it, Jeff. You can't come back and go, okay, well, then we need to kill everyone that eats shrimp, and we need to, you know,
kill
children that swear at their parents, and we need to, you know, I mean, it's like it goes on and on and on.
And the funny thing is, too, is these are the same people that love to throw out the Nazi reference as they try and purify the society. It's amazing to me.
And the other thing, Jeff, is interestingly, the one thing that a lot of theologians, including the ecclesiastical MOOC, John Pugelsang, who joins us in Hour 3, the one thing that there is a lot of debate on is what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, you know, and that certainly many of them said Sodom and Gomorrah is not about that. It's not what it's about. It's about promiscuity. It's about rape. It's about, you know, so anyway.
Yeah, the Sodom and Gomorrah story is hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Sodom and Gomorrah story is the one that everybody references. And it's wonderful that how the hero in that story is the one who's going to send his daughters out to the crowd.
Yeah, yeah. To get raped. I know.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, all you got to do is read it and pay attention, and you know they have no point of reference here, nothing.
Yep, exactly. All right, honey, thank you. Let's go to Greg in Minnesota and the Beccapalooza tomorrow. Hello, Greg.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
I was just wondering, you know, Beck doesn't want anyone to show up at that thing tomorrow that has signs and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone does show up with signs and there's a huge riot, he blames it on liberals. That kind of stuff.
Oh, they've already set that up, right? It'll be, you know,
yeah,
people infiltrating, trying to start trouble.
Oh,
yes.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
like, we don't have better things to do.
Yeah, yeah. But we'll be the ones that'll be blamed, not his followers, you know. And it's probably them that are putting it up anyways.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. Like, I have time to... I'm not a sign maker. You know what I mean? That takes way more commitment than I have. Way more magic marker fluid than it's worth it.
Yeah, who has poster board nowadays?
Whatever. Eric in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
It's time to start showing up at things like Beck's event and other events like this and just basically call them on. Here's how you do it. You act like you're invited because anybody supporting, let's say, the Constitution would support the fact that the Constitution has equal protections. So you get somebody up there and you say, hey, isn't it great that equal protection says I can't discriminate based on homosexuality? Or you get up there, isn't it great that the Constitution says the Patriot Act is technically illegal? And you go through all of these things. And
true conservatives like Ted Olson would get booed at this thing tomorrow.
This is the point. You provoke that. You know, one thing that the genius of Gandhi and Martin Luther King was provoking the reaction out of the opposition.
Yeah. Eric, that's what I'd like to see is Republicans like Michael Bloomberg and Ted Olson to infiltrate and see what kind of reception they get at the Glenn Beccapalooza tomorrow. It's a non-political event, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 46 minutes after the hour. All right, back with more thoughts on Beccapalooza, Ken Melman, and Right Wing World as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
And we'll be right back.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Which one of these do I take first? Someone's mad at me that I'm too accepting of Ken Melman, and someone says if there's violence at the Glenn Beck rally, guess whose fault it is?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Computer says yes.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's take that one. David, my right-wing love muffin in North Carolina. Hi, David.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Well, do you really know what this rally's about?
It's about restoring honor to the something.
Right, and what is so horrible about restoring honor? Where you have Washington full of corruption, Charlie Rangel, Maxine Waters.
Oh, this is an anti-Rangel rally. That's what this is about?
No. What I'm saying, it's an anti-corruption rally. He's saying there is no honor in Washington. How can we trust anything these people do when they're not honorable
That's
people?
Where was he when they were running a criminal syndicate out of Tom DeLay's office with the whole Abramoff mess, which every Republican congressman was involved with.
He's talking about against all that. He's,
he is.
Pin him as a Republican. He's not. He's more of a conservative.
Really? How come Sarah Palin is speaking then? How come it's only Republicans that are speaking?
So what? She don't have the same right you do to speak?
He says it's a non-political event. How do you do a non-political event with Sarah Palin, who is the Republican vice presidential candidate? And is giving out Republican endorsements like Skittles.
I don't think they're going to talk about the bums in Washington as far as by name. They're going to talk about the corruption and all that's going on.
Let's get to the part where you think if there's violence, it'll be my fault.
I'm not saying it's going to be your fault, but what I'm saying is you're saying that we hate the mosque and we're stirring up hatred, and this poor cabbie gets stabbed by some idiot. Nobody endorses this idiot. And what if someone...
Yes, but,
right, but, this kind of, but this kind of talk makes a toxic environment.
What about you guys talking about how Glenn's a crybaby and he's a nut and, you know, you know,
he does cry a lot.
Inciting somebody to you could be inciting someone towards violence. Some unstable person that you don't.
I've never advocated violence toward Glenn Beck or anyone else.
Oh, I'm not saying you're advocating violence. Just like I don't think anybody. I don't think Newt Gingrich or Sarah Palin or Glenn Beck said, "Hey, listen, someone needs to go find."
Of course not, David. We're not saying anyone has ever gone on the air and said somebody. David, why does Sarah Palin have to keep using rhetoric like reload? Why does she have to put Democrats in crosshairs on her website?
She's not talking. You know, that's symbolism.
Oh, it is. I see. So she has to, whether it's Dr. Laura reloading her N-words or whatever. Say,
listen, black rappers can say nigger all they want.
Okay. All right. That was... He said the N-word. Okay. Bye-bye now. Wrong show. Wrong chick radio show.
Yep.
Not okay here. What? That made my head hurt. You can't tell me that there is... Who is it that said... is it Michelle Bach? I can't even tell which crazy it is now. We might have to go to Second Amendment remedies. Oh, Sharon Angle.
Sharon Angle. Yeah.
Well, what the hell does that mean? That's not violent rhetoric. Ugh.
And if this isn't a Republican rally, why aren't any Democrats invited to speak there?
Hmm. Interesting question. Daryl in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, Stephen, I'm mad.
Uh-oh.
First of all, it never fails. You get into an argument with a teabag, and the N-word always comes out at some point. Now, I'm mad at you, Steph.
Oh,
I'm mad.
Oh, man.
You
it's going to be one
denial.
Of those days. All right, go ahead.
Are you in denial, Steph?
About
you
what?
This mailman guy. You need to take a page from the black community. If, for example, Condoleezza Rice. She's a pariah. You know, we love her, but you're a pariah. So you need to get off of it. You remember when Bush number one, we came out the Willie Horton ass, and
yes.
The guy who came up with that, I forget his name, he died of cancer. But before he died on his deathbed, I'm so sorry for Willie
Horton. Atwater?
Lee Atwater.
Uh-huh. Right. Atwater, when he died on his deathbed, he said he was sorry for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the damage was already done. I love you, but you're wrong.
Oh, about Ken Melman?
Yes.
What's...
Get a grip. Let him go.
Okay. All right.
No, try to be nice to him. The guy did a wrong to
right,
the gay
but,
movement.
But, Daryl, my point is that aren't we the party that tries not to judge morally and tries...
No, Stephanie. I'm on the mean side of our party. But
all right.
We always get beat up.
Daryl, you and I need to spoon, okay?
Okay.
All right,
I'm
love
just
you.
Mad.
All right.
I love you, but I'm mad. Bye.
You're beautiful when you're angry. All right. I love you. Bye. Wow. I'm either mad enough or too mad this morning. What the hell? I'm just saying, it's hard for somebody in my position to, look, I don't like what Ken Melman did, but I welcome anybody to the fight. We need every able-bodied person we can get. If he helps change some hearts and minds on his side, good.
He has a lot of karma.
I understand.
Okay. He better get working now.
I'm not a grudgy person. Okay,
just saying, he has a lot of damage to undo.
I'm taking a beating this morning already. Kelly in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Crazy talk going on.
Jeez.
Okay, I am a recovering born-again Christian, and I wanted to give you guys some tips on what is going on the inside here.
Okay.
Okay, there's seven things you have to understand. First of all, now as a recovering, I was way inside, okay?
Right.
Dipped into the water,
deep,
the
deep,
whole
deep
thing.
Undercover.
Deep, right. So first of all, there's a battle for your souls, okay? It's up in the heavens here. We got good and evil going on. Devil and angel stuff. They believe that.
No, boy.
They believe in the rapture.
Yeah.
Okay? Many mansions in heaven. This stuff down here, irrelevant.
So you know the answer that will a rapture helmet help? A helmet
will
help.
But
okay.
You know what? They are fighting for you, Stephanie.
And they,
get to heaven.
They also believe that Jews are going to hell during the rapture.
They do, and Catholics, too, and Mormons. Oh, don't
unless you
Mormons.
Say you're straight and Christian right before the moment of the rapture, you're toast.
Okay, that brings me to point number 10. There's a get-out-of-jail card, a free card, and it's called repent, okay? If
right.
they can get you to repent, then you're going to go, man. You're there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jesus is all-forgiving and all that stuff.
Right.
But, you know, all this conversation, I mean, you are not going to ever get through to them because they surround themselves.
No, I was raised Catholic. I get it. A couple of the Hail Marys and an Our Father, and you're all good.
No.
Good to go. All right.
Again, evangelicals, you are a cult.
Yeah, exactly. I never... How did the priest figure out exactly how many?
Yeah.
I could never figure it out.
Well, like, you know, the Jehovah's Witness, you only get 144,000, so that's
that's a problem too. We're really in trouble.
Yeah, all right. I know. I could never. I could. I don't. How do you know? What, two Hail Marys and three Our Fathers somehow?
I think it was completely arbitrary.
Exactly.
Depending on their mood.
They're just in there. It's like playing craps. They're 2, 10, 3, 7 Hail Mary. Ah, you're good. All right, go. Go. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with economist Christian Weller and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Alright, now, happy Friday. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Fridays with Fugelsang, next hour, and actor-director, activist Rob Reiner. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Edge show is up in the video section of StephanieMiller.com and on my Facebook thing area.
And, yes, and also the video of Rebecca in her motion picture debut.
Yeah,
yes.
And can I say I'm a little annoyed at that, that Stephanie and I are both theater graduates, and Rebecca is a much bigger star than either of us.
Yes, thanks. We needed to feel worse about ourselves. Thank you.
She was working when she was 13.
Yeah, this is not a good week for me. I, you know, they recalled something in my car yesterday.
Yeah?
Something. They took my car and then brought it back.
Yeah.
Said because there was some
Didn't
sort of steering something.
Whatever.
Oh,
and I'm just saying, coincidence that the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money was in town?
Hmm.
Yeah, this is your car dealership.
Yeah,
the
there
thing
could be
with
a
your steering we gotta fix. Okay,
At least your windshield wasn't busted.
No! If your windshield is chipped or cracked, call SafeLight Auto Glass at 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com. Nothing but net on that one.
Yeah!
Net on Captain Segway.
SafeLight Replay.
Slam!
Wow. My neck hurts from that. Sudden.
Radio.
It's almost like there's something wrong with the steering on this show.
Such radio geeks. We haven't been that happy since I hit the post in Top 40 Radio. Exactly, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what? Hitting the post was an awesome feeling, though. I have to say.
Yeah, play some Doobie Brothers, because it takes me back to my sister Sleaze in Rochester, New York, WCMF. Home of rock and roll, everybody! I'm just saying. I was, you know.
Yeah.
All right, too late. Never mind.
Yeah, the music takes a little while to come up.
All right, never mind. They ain't related, but they Doobie Brothers. 8 minutes after the hour, boom! You know what I'm saying. It's that feeling. All right. Oh! Good morning, everybody. WCMF Radio 96.5. Brother Weeze, Sister Sleaze in the morning. Got Doobie Brothers tickets coming up 8 minutes after the hour.
Except your voice is about 2 octaves deeper than it was back then.
All right, never mind. I don't remember how to hit the post.
That was the
See,
post.
I slammed into the post without a rapture helmet. Damn it.
Boy, you've lost your touch, haven't you?
Damn it, I haven't been doing music radio in a while. Just hitting the post for the boys and girls. For those of you that don't know the radio business, it's when you stop talking right
just
before
the lyrics start.
Oh, before you slam into the lyrics.
It's the best feeling in the world to nail that post.
The hell out of
Why are we having a radio geek frenzy? What's wrong
with
that?
I have no idea.
It just annoys me when they start talking as soon as the lyrics stop.
The song's not over.
I want to hear
like
the last
guitar solo and, you know, Casio solo in there or something, you know. It's not over.
Right. All right. By the way, so the Becca Palooza is tomorrow.
Yes.
Richard, he's calling it his I Have a Scheme speech.
Yeah.
Ha! That's funny.
Yeah.
Richard writes, hey, Steph of the Mooks, I've got a secret tip. At the end of Glenn Beck's I Have a Scheme debacle, there will be rocket ships at the ready to take the true believers to the planet Bectron. It's a wonderful place that's a giant middle American small town where no one pays any taxes, but all social services are miraculously provided by magic fairies. It's
like
eternally. It's eternally. It's eternally the 1950s, and all the guys have crew cuts and wear ties and smoke pipes, and all the women wear aprons 24 hours a day, and they're none of those annoying or liberal elitists or socialists or communists or atheists or Judaists or Islamists, and just the right kind of Christians, and none of those uppity, noisy Jeremiah Wright types. Thank you, Richard.
And women knew their place.
Exactly, and it was not hitting the post on a radio show.
Black people would, too, if there were any, on Vectron.
But there aren't, because it's magical. All right.
A place where it's always the 1950s.
And men talk like that for some reason.
Yeah, they do.
I'm an announcer, so this is how I will talk. To project my message, I must speak as if I was standing in a tunnel without a microphone in front of my face.
All right. Listen, we got economic type news, and we got Christian Weller, economic type guy. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. So we, let's see, we have some not so good numbers out today. Tell us about that first.
Yeah, the Bureau of Economic Analysis at the Department of Commerce released new numbers on the gross domestic product. Basically, they revised what they did last month, and what it shows is that economic growth in the second quarter of this year was slower than initially expected. They revised it down to 1.6% from previously 2.4%. The primary reason for that is that the trade deficit had actually widened in the second quarter more than they had initially thought. And our big problem here is we're doing well on the export side, but we're also importing a lot of stuff. So we have a recovery in the private sector. Businesses are investing. But a lot of the investment materials, a lot of the computers, the building materials, and all of that stuff that they're putting in to the economy is coming from overseas, and that is hurting us on economic growth.
So now let's look at their ideas, shall we? Let's look at the Boehner plan. The John Boehner proposal. What's in that exactly?
Yeah. I don't know. I looked at it again about the 5-point plan that he has, and plan here really is in quotation marks.
I think it involves tanning booths.
It's ideological rambling. It's unclear since when ideology really should amount to economic policy. In this case, John Boehner is proposing to cut taxes further, extend the tax cuts for the rich in an effort to reduce deficits. And that nonsense just shouldn't be taken seriously in economic policy debates. The other parts that he's proposing is things that are not even on the table at this point, that the president should veto labor law reform or cap and trade, which nobody thinks is actually seriously going to pass anytime soon. The other part he proposes, and that's truly the harmful part, is freezing what's called discretionary spending, non-defense discretionary spending, which basically Mr. Boehner would have to explain whether he would like to take the money away from veterans or from children who are in school.
So his plan consists
of the choice that he has.
His plan consists of things that are A, imaginary, or B, harmful, essentially.
Okay. That's probably the bottom line, aside from foolish and nonsensical.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, it's irresponsible policymaking. It's irresponsible politicking from the leader of the opposition party. This is not constructive.
So unlike him to be unconstructive. Now, Christian, let's talk about housing. What's going on that front?
Housing is a little bit hard to interpret. The housing numbers, in particular the existing home sales numbers and the new home sales numbers, both fell again in July, but that was sort of expected because we had a good run-up in the spring, meaning April, May, June, because of the tax credits. The tax credits expired for closing dates before April, but obviously the initial sales offer, the closing could happen till the end of June. So a number of things were still in the pipeline that basically sales happened earlier than it otherwise would have, and so there's a correction in the market. If you look at other indicators in the housing market, they don't look all that bad. New home what's called housing starts and permits, which is sort of a leading indicator of what may come. They're improving a little bit, flat, but they're not as bad as the sales numbers suggest.
Christian, Bill Burton, White House Deputy Press Secretary, yesterday said
the president is doing everything that we think is appropriate to continue moving the economy in the right direction. There's more that we can be doing.
What more can they be doing, do you think?
Well,
I think the emphasis is the right one. The policy has worked. The private sector is growing. Just to go back to the GDP numbers, private business investment has actually been revised upward for the second quarter. So clearly the private sector has a lot of momentum and more could happen. The question is, what could you do? And I think in the short run, you're stuck with the oldies but goodies. That is more spending, more money to state and local governments to prevent further layoffs at that level for firefighters, police officers, and teachers, extended unemployment insurance benefits at the end of the year. A number of those, probably more infrastructure investment, more spending, especially in green technologies. Those kinds of measures have proven to be effective in turning really around the private sector, and we need more of that in the short run.
He also had a memo to the boner about instead of whining about small business.
He'll be continuing to urge Republicans in the Senate to stop obstructing the important small business bill so they can end capital gains taxes for their investments so they can create jobs again.
You think even the boner could understand that, right? Small business bill. It says it right on the bill. It's to help small business.
Well, it goes, not only is it in a bill, but also the substance of the bill goes specifically to the major concern that small businesses have, and that is access to financing. What the bill is supposed to do is guarantee loans to small businesses, make it easier for them to actually get credit in this market. And that's what small businesses have been clamoring for about 2 years.
Yep.
So it's inconsistent. I mean, ideology stands in the way of good economic policy for Republicans in this case because for them that looks too much like TARP and they don't want that, but that means that they can't really implement good policy.
Yeah, we can't have that because TARP obviously worked, so you can't have any more of that. Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire. See you next time. Thank you, sir.
Next week. Thank
All right,
you
there you go.
John Boehner's in favor of the Yachts for Billionaires plan. I think that'll help the economy.
Well,
also, I think fire departments should spray pure kerosene on house fires. I think that's what it'd be.
That looks too TARP-y and effective.
Well,
we don't want that.
Just imagine if we didn't have the stimulus, if we didn't have TARP, if we didn't have all this.
We have the Bush administration.
Yeah, what kind of trouble would we be in then? If this stuff worked. It kept us from a depression.
Double dip. Dan in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show about the Glenn Beck I Have a Scheme speech tomorrow. Hello, Dan.
Well, you know, what the whole ironic thing about Glenn is he wants to be so accepted into that mainstream Christianity, but a lot of people actually forget that, you know, that he is Mormon. And the fact of the matter is I want everybody on this show or that listens to your show to go and Google Mormonism and racism or Mormonism and Cain and Abel. And at one point in time...
Here would be the key words to put in, Mormonism and mud people.
Yeah.
Review.
Yeah. Well, and what they believe is that when Cain slew Abel, that his punishment from God is what they darkened his skin and they flared out his nose and they had to roam the earth.
Mm.
And that's what, you know, and so I think if people really want to get under this guy's skin, you start showing up to these rallies because these rallies are full of evangelicals. They're not full of Mormons. And start taking Books of Mormon and tearing them up and throwing them right there in front of Glenn Beck's face. And then you'll start creating some secular
fireworks.
Division within that GOP because, you know what, they're all about confrontation. And so, to me, if you look at all of these religions, they have a really weird, strange bedfellow relationship going on. And so Glenn Beck is a professed Mormon, and, you know, we need to start asking him how many wives he has and all that good stuff and see if he likes that.
All right. Thank you. All right.
Listen,
the fact that even one woman had the stomach to marry Glenn Beck is stunning to me. All right.
Well, the problem with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is that there are all these rumors going around about it, you know, like the Cain and Abel thing, simply because all of their tenets are not available to the public.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Like Scientology.
Exactly.
And we don't mean to be offensive, so don't get your magic underpants in a bunch.
That's the problem I have with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And there are groups within certain parts of Utah where they still do practice polygamy.
But they're not associated with the big Mormon church.
Right. All right. Mm-hmm. 19 minutes after the hour, back with more on the Becca Palooza tomorrow, Right Wing World, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Don't make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act.
is the Stephanie Miller Show up in here. Welcome.
Up in where?
Get your grill up in there. Get your face up in there, boy. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, load the liar cannon. Glenn Beck says it's just a coincidence his Restoring Honor rally on Saturday will take place on the anniversary on the site of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech.
You're a liar.
Mm-hmm. I've simply made the logical deduction that you are a liar.
He's been pushing that forever. Jesus
cry. Lies do make baby Jesus cry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He's been pushing that forever, that it's...
Wow. No, it's a coincidence. He's not a calendar guy.
No.
Didn't see that. Right. Didn't know that. Mm-hmm. He said, this is going to be a moment that you'll never be able to paint people as haters, racists, none of it. He says of the event featuring Sarah Palin and other conservatives.
And they'll probably be railing against Charlie Rangel and Maxine Waters. You know how those people are.
Yes. This is a moment, quite honestly, that I think we reclaim the civil rights movement.
Oh, my God.
That one made me puke.
Yeah, it's just a coincidence that he's talking about the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King spoke here? I have no idea. What an asshat. My God.
Reverend Sharpton said, when we heard about Glenn Beck, it was puzzling because if you read Dr. King's speech, it just doesn't gel with what Mr. Beck and Ms. Palin are representing. Hmm.
Well, we better just reload then. Fire away.
Let's start
in
with
the crosshairs.
Signs at some Tea Party events have included pictures of Obama embellished with Hitler mustache, bone through the nose, watermelons on the White House lawn, and threats to Democratic officials. Dr. King never had to ask anyone to leave their signs and guns at home, said President of the NAACP. The 828 rally supposedly is about reclaiming the civil rights movement, but it's being led by someone whose idea of a racist is the President of the United States, the spokesman for Media Matters. This rally is about one thing and one thing only, and that's promoting Glenn Beck's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, I wonder if people are going to bring firearms to something supposedly honoring Martin Luther King.
Yeah, that'd be...
And they don't really see the irony in that at all.
Or no. They're irony deficient.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world where we find Glenn Beck on TV with the flame of liberty and the dwindling.
Make no mistake, the flame of freedom is dwindling. The shining city on the hill, the sun is setting. If you don't want it to go out on our watch, then you must stand in the blaze, the fire of truth that does not burn those who stand in it, but consumes everything that is not. Point others to the truth.
Wow.
And just like every other struggle in history, in fact, every struggle in American history, read Lincoln, King, Washington, they were fighting evil. If you think things are tough now, you ain't seen nothing yet. I will show you the way out.
So you're going to have cross burnings there?
God.
To, you know, reclaim the civil rights.
Is that where the light will be coming from?
Yeah.
He's kind of a messianic thing there.
Yeah, God complex there.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He's out of his freaking mind is what he is.
Aaron in Cincinnati. Hi, Aaron.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, I am a Christian, and I've been listening to progressive talk radio for the last couple of weeks, and it grieves me like so much to see how Christians have been represented so bad by so many people who claim to be Christians themselves. There is nothing about Christianity that would lead a pastor to say, "Let's go burn Quran," or "Let's bash gays," or "Let's hate Muslims." Christianity is about the gospel. It's about Christ. It's about sharing that love. And the fact that people are doing things like that grieves me. And so many of the complaints and the grievances that people on the left have, homosexuals and whatnot, I can completely see why they would feel that way, because we as Christians, for the most part, have done such a horrible job of sharing the gospel. And
people with the loudest voices that are generally the wrongest.
The guy behind the Quran burnings just cut out the parts where Jesus is mentioned in the Quran.
Yes.
Or they burn that too.
No, they just burn around it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just eat around the parts you don't like and your food. Roz in Atlanta. Hello, Roz.
Hello, Stephanie. I know you came out, and I don't mean to be insulting, but when you don't have a sex life, I mean, you know, girl.
It's really more imaginary than anything. Go ahead.
And another thing about religion. What religion allows you to prostitute your faith out to politicians, for God's sakes? And they're going to call other people up and tell them they're going to hell?
Yeah.
So what is this hope? What's this honor rally going to prove? I mean, how's it going to restore? What exactly is it going to do to restore honor?
Well, it's going to prove that Glenn Beck is not just an asshat, but a messianic asshat.
Yeah. There'd be a bunch of right-wing yahoos showing signs of Obama with a bone through his nose and, you know, possibly carrying firearms, which...
John in Asheville just wants us to know he's drunk again. Hi, John!
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Good.
Again or
yeah,
still?
I'm getting prepared for a weekend here, but anyway. But anyway...
Sounds like you're soaking in it.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to get ready.
You're getting ready to get ready. It's the pre-cocktail hour. He's getting ready to get drunk.
That's amazing. My hat's off to him.
God bless John. He's starting early on us all. Damn it. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
With great cans, but I'm pretty smart when I've had my 8 hours.
34 minutes after the hour, actor, director, activist Rob Reiner coming up on the Celebrity Hotline. Friday.
He's been to your house.
Mm-hmm. Fridays with people saying, yeah, that was a Christmas party, wasn't it?
Yeah.
People were like, was that Elvira, Pee Wee Herman, and Rob
Reiner? Rob Reiner and Ed Asner and Mike Farrell.
Yes, Mr. Grant.
And George Takei and his lovely husband,
yes.
Brad.
Yes.
George Takei.
I just saw George and Brad the other night at the Marvin Boxer event.
Ah.
You already said, Stephanie, I love your speech. I'm going to steal parts of it. I said, feel free. All right.
He's quite the orator.
Yes, he is.
And I just love that Elvira and Pee Wee Herman came together.
Yes.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Came together. We had MASH, we had Mary Tyler Moore, represented everything.
It was like some fevered TV, you know, Nick at Night dream or something with after too much Chinese food. It's like, what? No.
Yeah, everyone was just like, was that? I was like, yes.
Wait a
yes,
minute.
It was.
Pee Wee Herman, Elvira, Sulu.
1-800
Meathead.
Meathead.
1-800
And Mr. Grant. Wow.
1-800-STEP-1-2.
What did I drink last night?
Kevin in D.C. Oh, yes, hello.
Good morning, lovely Steph.
Hello, my ebony god. Some people worship Aqua Buddha. I represent. I worship my ebony god in D.C.
You see all this, these nice things. When? How could you say it? We're about to have our first semi-lovers quarrel.
Uh-oh.
I almost can't get it out now.
You know how hot that makes me when we fight. Go ahead.
Oh, boy, I'm going to be like Beavis. I just said I couldn't get it out.
Hit yeah,
it.
I know.
But anyway, what made me think of you is, well, besides the obvious, is that I got a text from my brother yesterday, the poor guy. He writes, hey, watching Ed's show, and Sync just said, Stephanie Miller just came out. Oh, God, bro, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, hey.
Kevin got condolences cards from his whole family.
I feel like it's old news.
He just probably used to be like, dude, it's cool. It's okay, first of all. The fact that now I can have girl-on-girl fantasy about with no guilt is perfectly all right. but I caught the I caught the 3 p.m. or 3 a.m. repeat, and I saw you talking about Melman. I just want some clarification now. You know, as a black person, a lot of us are upset with, say, Clarence Thomas, because it's not that he has different views, but he seemed to do things that are detrimental, that are opposed our rights.
Right.
And so likewise, you know, I'm kind of praising you. You're very Christian-like to not get on him more. I'm trying to understand why.
I'm trying to set an example.
See,
I welcome him to the fight.
But that's one. It's one thing for him to like not be comfortable, whatever, you know, not coming out. But he took it a step further, and much like Craig and other wildly gay-bashing people, he's actually working completely to undermine you. So I you know, I commend you, but how are you able to not be more angered at someone like that? I think that that's a horrible person.
Well, because, you know, I like I say, I think this is a really important point in a really important civil rights battle in our history, and I welcome him because I think that's part of what I keep saying. This is not a partisan issue anymore. It's a human issue. So, you know, but am I happy with what he's done? No, but he says he's not either, so let's let him work his karma, right?
Well bless you, babe, because, you all know, right. I wish I'm more of a vengeful sort. If he has,
you can't help.
Well, my point is that we're supposed to be the party that does not judge, does not say we're judging your moral character, values.
Stephanie, what I'm trying to say is, if he had had his self-hating issues in a corner somewhere and didn't make it his job to make gave people life miserable, then I'd say, okay, that's okay. If he said anything he wanted to say, if he bashed you in his house, that'd be one thing. But he actually, you know, made commercials and did policies to hurt you. That's yeah. why I have a hard time
yeah.
forgiving him. You know, but again, just like Sink, you know.
I know what you're saying. There are certain elements of it. My whole thing is that I'm not prepared to have a courage off with somebody. You know, I mean, I said to my friend Shelley Wright, it's like she made me feel like a coward. You know, when to come out in the country western world takes a lot of courage. I mean, but so you know what I'm saying is you kind of go, I just hope that we get past this discussion where it takes courage, where it should be a big deal for anybody. So I'm glad Ken Melman has joined the fray.
I agree with you. I just wish people, again, if he has his issues, if he's not. Brave is not even, I don't even like that word. It's not about that. You know, it's a private matter anyway.
Right.
You shouldn't care one way or the other, like you said. But again, it's one thing if you have your self-hating issues and you stand in a corner and not put your crap on every other people. But he actually did policies to hurt you. He was actually running
yeah.
it.
No,
that's
I hear you.
The only thing.
I hear you. Yep. No, I hear you, honey.
And he continues to be a member of a party that has a plank in its platform that is dead set against him.
Exactly. That's
Kevin.
I don't comprehend, but I mean I still love you. I'm just saying.
I love you too, and this argument has made me hot and maybe turned me straight. I don't know.
Oh, I got that.
Right. Just kidding. Okay.
You're just stringing him along.
Yeah. Stop it.
I've been stringing you along for years, and you're still here.
I'm still here. Yeah.
But I do let you fill me up, so
that's
you know.
True.
Well, something.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy, must we? Do we have to leave for the weekend dumber than when we got here?
Well,
Steve Ducey on Fox and
From
Press.
Healthcare to the billion-dollar stimulus, or trillion-dollar stimulus, President Obama has been pushing through legislation despite public outcry against it. Still, he claims to be doing it for all of us, the people. But could President Obama be running the most destructive administration in our history?
Some people say.
Some say.
What an idiot.
No, you say that. That's
oh
who says that.
Oh, God. Steve Doofus says that.
Mm. Bill Morris, who's, I don't know who that is, on the O'Reilly,
mm-hmm.
on the Ground Zero, not at Ground Zero, not a mosque.
Oh, I think it's Dick Morris. Oops.
Oh, you just a little misprint there.
Yeah, sorry about Bill Morris, huh?
Who's
you were
Bill
drunk
Morris?
Again when you wrote the soundbite list.
Yeah, okay.
This mosque has nothing to do with religious freedom or tolerance.
Ah.
People don't understand the fundamental nature
only
of Islam.
You understand.
Under Islam, the imams are there in charge of applying Sharia law. Sharia law has contained within it not just this horrible, vicious abasement of women, which is revolting throughout it, but it also has jihad and suicide bombing and terrorism built right into
the structure.
Well, Dick,
let me tell you.
And sucking toenails. It's disgusting. It's a disgusting religion. And I just,
noted feminist and prostitute.
I toenail cut in my throat.
Prostitute toe sucker, Dick Morris, sputtering on about
the treatment of women is just appalling. There's another toenail. Could think she had a petty before I started sucking on her toes.
So I'm falling on that floor filled with hammers again.
Oh, he did not just start talking about treatment of women.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, please. Oh, Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Oh, I'm so tired of that old queen. I really
am. Oh, come on now.
You meant beanbag chair.
Yes, let he who without sins roll out the first Melman. All right.
No, the Ken Melman thing, though, if it wasn't for him, the whole gay right argument wouldn't have infected the Iowa vote, and thus Bush wouldn't have been reelected.
Yeah.
It's like when Laura Bush went on Oprah and started talking about how she's pro-choice. It's like, oh, yeah, thanks for yesterday's mail, you know?
Yeah, now she's for gay marriage. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Pickles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, of course, Bush wasn't really reelected. They stole it in Ohio. It's been pretty well documented.
Yeah. All right. Steve Forbes on the Fox News.
Billionaire Steve Forbes.
Billionaire Steve
yes.
Forbes.
Had the impact on the markets and the economy would be profoundly positive, but I don't think this president's capable of doing it. I don't think he's got the suppleness that Bill Clinton had after he suffered a setback in the 1994 elections. He jettisoned, threw overboard Hillary care, and went along with Republicans on spending restraints and ultimately tax cuts.
So, of course, Steve Forbes is fighting to keep the Bush tax cuts for the rich.
Wow. Who would that benefit?
Oh,
maybe him.
Oh, Steve Forbes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Steve Forbes fighting for Steve Forbes' rights. Good. Okay.
Billionaire Steve Forbes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Billionaires need more yachts.
Pam Geller.
Ah.
Behind the whole whatever. And, is Muslim rumpus room gate.
And she's the one who says that Obama hates Jews.
Uh-huh.
We have no paperwork on Obama, but that's okay.
Yeah, we can't find his birth certificate.
You can't find anything, not a transcript, not a passport to Pakistan. I mean, it's incredible.
It's extraordinary.
It's really the greatest act of perfidy in American history, how the press has abandoned their role as public servant, abdicated their role in the dissemination of information, because we as a free people count on our media to vet our candidates and to deliver to us the investigative journalism.
Yeah, just like the press didn't report on the Israelis sinking the USS Liberty in 1967. No, we can't mention that.
Mm. Okay, all right. Okay.
She's a birther.
Mm-hmm.
Who saw that coming?
Okay.
Who could have bought his birth certificate?
They can't find anything, not his passport or anything.
And now it's an annoying woman segue to Laura Ingraham.
Demonizing the opposition. That's the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. When it comes to the mosque, its supporters have chosen not to debate, but to demonize. So if you think the mosque should be moved, you're an anti-Muslim bigot. If you question past statements made by its founders, you're guilty of hate speech. Well, the problem with this tactic, of course, is that an overwhelming majority of Americans and New Yorkers think the mosque should be built elsewhere.
Well, you know who one of those New Yorkers wasn't? You!
Right.
You were all for it. On TV, on tape.
Uh-huh.
Back before you got your Fox talking points.
Right.
No, listen, if we wanted to just demonize our opponents, we would do rude impressions of them having orgasms.
You're doing it wrong.
I'm the do-it-again girl in class. Not good enough. Do it again. All right, 45. That concludes another vomitous right-wing world. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow! You just blew my mind!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Sam in California. Hi, Sam.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to comment on that Dick Morris clip, which is, first of all, completely insane and complete fear-mongering. So outside of it being untrue, you know, why on earth would any Muslim in this country ever vote Republican again? I mean, if you really look at Muslims in this country, they're a conservative bunch, but why on earth
I can't imagine why anyone would vote Republican at this point, frankly.
It's just crazy. And I mean, and for that matter, any other minority party as well, because it seems like they're just a party of hate. I mean,
yes,
if you look
any
at
Muslim, any Hispanic, any gay person, I mean, anybody that's interested in, the economy improving.
What are they going to be left with? Nothing.
Yeah, so. Exactly. All right, honey, let's go to Catherine in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kat.
Hey, why has nothing been mentioned from Faux News at all about the group of 9/11 relatives who have come out in favor of the mosque?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess there's no time to cover that, just like Ken Melman being gay.
Look over there. Glenn Beck's standing on some steps. They're not the steps Martin Luther King was on. He's a couple steps away.
Abby.
No. Offensive at all.
I have a scheme today. Abby in San Francisco.
Well, good morning, darling. So everyone from Dick Morris to Howard Dean keeps talking about these polls that show 70% of the American people don't want this mosque built. The reason these polls are coming out this way is because the people are being given misinformation. It's being touted as a ground zero mosque. It's not a ground zero, and it's not a mosque. And the second point is, even if it were, that wouldn't make it right. You know, majorities of people have been against civil rights issues throughout our history. They've been against letting gay people get married until recently.
Right.
Our Constitution protects the rights of everyone, including minorities. That's what our Constitution is there for.
Yeah.
So it's irrelevant.
When Harry Truman pushed desegregation of the military, 7% of officers and enlisted men were for cohabitating with black people. 7%. But he did it anyway because
it was the right thing to do.
Yes, thank you. Bob in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bob.
Hi, yeah. I was just wanting to make a point. I got into an argument with a right-wing coworker yesterday, and basically her point of why she believes Obama is a Muslim is because...
It's not an opinion question.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't yet found a church to go to every Sunday in Washington. Mm.
So, Muslim is your default setting. So anybody that hasn't chosen a church yet is Muslim.
Anybody out there who does not go to church every Sunday, you're a Muslim.
So Ronald Reagan was a Muslim.
Yes.
Skip
right past Buddhist, Hindu, Jewish, straight
Muslim.
Yeah.
Default settings are a bitch. You know me. I'm just so technophobic. I never know how to change my default setting.
I believe Obama is a Martian. He's tall and thin, as if he grew up on a planet with less gravity than ours. It's completely obvious, isn't it?
One of my computers the other day, Internet Explorer is your default setting. No, I don't want, no. Get it out. How do I get it out?
Really?
I change it to Muslim.
You're the one who uses Internet
now
Explorer.
Now I have a Muslim browser. James in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'd like to make 2 points today, if I may.
All right.
Speaking as the official truck-driving minister of the Stephanie Miller Show, ring the bell, Chris, I'd like to talk about Ken Melman and refer people to the parable of the prodigal son and see if that changes your thinking about Ken coming over to our side. The second thing I'd like to do, Stephanie, is talk about you going on the next time you go on a TV show, is to raise the issue of American exceptionalism and talk about, first, we are exceptional as Americans because we have a First Amendment, which guarantees freedom of religion, and we also have a 14th Amendment, which means if you're born here, you're a citizen. We are exceptional as Americans.
Well, I actually do raise American exceptionalism in that I don't think we should be aspiring to be Saudi Arabia at this point.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, oh, well, they stone gay people there. But did you hear this pastor that's burning the Korans, Jim? That guy? Terry, he's like, well, you know, Chris, he was done Hardball. They stone gay people. That's why we're burning the Koran. It's like, oh, please, you hate gays.
He'd be doing that, too, if the Muslims were doing it.
Exactly. It's less people for us to gay bash. We don't want any gays stoned. I'm like, oh, please.
But that's what they do in Uganda, and the evangelicals are really pushing for that.
Mike in Texas. Hi, Mike. Hello, Mike in Texas.
Aww.
He's at the airport in Texas, apparently.
Mike's all drivey.
All drivey?
He's all drivey.
Sounds like he was at DFW.
Let's talk about... Can I have some rich people music, please? Let's talk about Meg Whitman's asshat sons.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were
saying
There's a lot of opposition
research coming out about her sons, huh?
I thought you were going to talk about Meg Whitman's ass. I thought, I'd rather not.
No. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Where should we start? Speaking of racism... Meg Whitman's son's racism and entitlement, the stuff of legend, apparently.
Wow.
Allegedly. Meg Whitman's son's Griff.
Griff?
Please. Griff and Will have been kicked out of prep schools and eating club dormitories in Princeton's class of 2008, say people who know them, one incident involving the N-word. Already internet famous, they documented Big Brother Griff's beer throwing in sheltered ways. Today, a glimpse at Will's, Will Harsh's little brother's blues, how he compensated with white entitlement. According to one classmate, the story goes that Will yelled, "What are all these N-words doing here?" One night when all the members of the Black Arts Company were there to celebrate a show they'd performed. Cottage is known as one of the whiter clubs on campus, so I assume he was shocked to see so many black people there one night. How soon will the Dr. Laura Meg Whitman endorsement be forthcoming, I wonder? Okay, let's see. Today in news about California Governor candidate Meg Whitman's famously awful offspring, younger son Will Harsh throws a tantrum and challenges a Princeton professor to a fight over a rugby field that the young heir thought belonged to him.
Oh, wow.
3 weeks ago, Princeton's graduate student softball league was playing a deeply nerdy game on West Windsor, pitting the computer science department's team against the plasma physics lab's team. Will stormed the field mid-game and made an announcement. Only rugby players were allowed on this field, he said, and if the nerds didn't leave, he'd call the cops. When they refused, Will started taking their stuff and throwing it over a fence. Schoolyard bully style. Okay, let's see in one last one. Are Meg Whitman's campaign donors funding her loutish son's salary?
Oh, boy.
Griff Harsh's internet privacy has been zealously protected as he had a de facto bodyguard at Princeton. Now Whitman's gubernatorial campaign has rewarded the company that gave delinquent Harsh an unlikely job. Whitman doesn't like to draw attention to son Griff. After all, he was suspended from Princeton, has a reputation for entitled belligerence when drinking. Yet she's publicly funding money to Solomir Capital, where last time we checked, Harsh worked as an analyst. According to newly released campaign expenditure filings, Whitman for governor spent $96,000 with Solomir in 4 months. Just saying.
Interesting.
That's why I broke my foot. I tripped over a giant bag of cash that Meg Whitman left on my doorstep.
And it had a dollar sign on the side?
Yes.
Yeah.
A man with a monocle delivered it, and I'm still not voting for her.
You know that Gene Simmons owns that image of the bag with the
yes, really?
Yes, he bought it for one of the Kiss albums.
Wow.
Tom in Chicago.
Yes, Lala. So there's a poll that shows that 70% of Americans are against the New York Mosque.
Yes.
I would like to take a page out of Dick Cheney's book. When George Stephanopoulos told him that 64% of Americans were against the war in Iraq, his answer was, so.
Right.
So tell them to go.
Don't give a damn.
Themselves.
They all can go themselves.
Thank you. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, actor, director, activist Rob Reiner, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Friday. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Fridays with Fuglesang coming up in just a bit. John Fuglesang joins us. He's in Florida with his mommy coming up in just a few minutes. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all. Their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice Dee Dee, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Mama on the Ed Show on MSNBC is up in the video section and on my Facebook thing area.
Yes. Whatever.
Thing.
And a video of Rebecca Taylor's motion picture debut is up on your Facebook page as well.
Yes. or we call it her audition for Rob Reiner.
Yes.
Actor, director, activist extraordinaire who joins us now. Good morning, Rob Reiner.
Hey, Stephanie. How are you?
I am missing you madly and so happy to talk to you again.
Yes, me too.
We've talked about you on the air. I didn't think a lot of people had no idea how involved you and your lovely wife Michelle were in the No on Prop 8 campaign out here.
Well, we were. I mean, more involved actually on the court challenge. We were involved in raising all the money to hire Ted Olson and David Boies.
Oh, you! That's what you was. You were the legal dating game that brought those two together.
We were. I mean, when we heard that Ted Olson was actually interested in what we were trying to do, we were like, first of all, stunned. I mean, this is the guy that, you know, defended Bush and Bush v. Gore and was his solicitor general and all that. And
right.
But then when we found out that he was sympathetic with what we were trying to do, he said, "Well, this is a political home run." And then he suggested David Boies, and now that's a home run ball that still hasn't come down yet.
Yeah, I'll say. I mean, and they really did just an amazing job, didn't they?
They did. They put on an amazing case. It was flawless. David Boies, it was watching him pick apart their witnesses was, it's like they said in the New Yorker, it was like watching a cat play with its food before it ate it.
And then he got right in the middle of it, a nice rent boy scandal right in his lap.
Oh, that was...
that was your expert witness?
That was like the gift that kept on giving.
Yeah. When you got that phone call, you're like, oh, no way.
It just happened now.
You
couldn't write that. I mean, this, for people who don't know, the guy who was the expert on conversion therapy, this guy Recker, who was, you know, they had trotted him out in virtually every court case that dealt with gay rights, and his whole premise was that you could, you know, transform a gay person into a straight person by, you know, doing this gay conversion therapy, and then it turned out he was...
Unless you hurt your back.
He had a boyfriend that he paid for and went on a trip to Europe, I guess, with rent-a-boy.
If you need help with your luggage, you're automatically turned you gay.
He didn't practice his own therapy on himself, clearly.
Yeah. See, I bet Rob Reiner, the director, would not believe Rob Reiner, the activist, if you called with that storyline. You'd be like, oh, no way.
No.
That wouldn't happen in the middle of the movie.
You can't make that stuff up.
So, anyway, God bless you and Michelle, because I was saying that that seems to be part of the theme, at least I talk about it on my show, is that, you don't have to be gay to believe in equal rights. You don't have to be Hispanic to think the Arizona law is racist. You don't have to be Muslim to think that we should be able to build places of worship wherever we want in this country. And
no, that's true. And the fact of the matter is, we are all less of a people in this country if there's one group of people that are treated differently and they're not given the equal rights of everybody else. I mean, we view this as the last big piece of the civil rights puzzle that's being filled in.
Right. And, Rob, I was saying this. I mean, obviously, Ken Melman, people have a lot of strong feelings about this because, they really did use gays as such a wedge issue in the last election. But frankly, I welcome him to the fight because I think we are at a really critical tipping point in a critical civil rights battle, thanks to people like you and Michelle. And, so I'm glad he's joined the party. But
it's surprising, but there's a lot of conservative Republicans who have joined us. I mean, Ted Olson said this at the very beginning when we first started got involved with him. He said, you'd be surprised to find out how many conservatives believe in what we're trying to do, because they view this as a very conservative issue. The idea that there's a fundamental right, and the Supreme Court has ruled on this many, many times, that there's a fundamental right to marriage, and that is a very conservative idea, that everybody have that right to get married.
Well, and I think that's exactly it. If you read Ted Olson's, the conservative case for gay marriage on Newsweek, and this is part of my point and why I, it came out when I did, is just to say Dick Cheney has a gay daughter, Newt Gingrich has a gay sister, and, this is not... It's a human and a civil rights battle at this point. It's not a partisan battle.
There is not one person in this country or in this world, for that matter, who doesn't have either a gay friend, a gay relative, or a gay colleague in the workplace. Everybody knows somebody who is gay, and so for you to as a heterosexual to look at somebody and say you don't deserve the same rights that I have is just ridiculous.
Well, particularly Rob, if you're looking at your daughter or your brother or your doctor or your lawyer or somebody
saying,
you love.
That's what I'm saying. How do you look at a relative or a friend and say you're a lesser person than I am?
Well, I mean, and you and I have I think we proved that we can all come together eventually, because you were on the Hillary side, I was on the Obama side.
Yes,
and we got into a very heated discussion at a Hillary fundraiser. But I love your passion. See, that's the thing, is you really believe in what you believe in and you put it out there. And, but I have to tell you, this is part of why I think I was so taken with Obama early on, is because I still believe that we worship an awesome God in the blue states, and we have some gay friends in the red states. And
I believe that, too. I mean, I was a Hillary person because I just was very practical in looking at the problems that we were faced with and thought that here was somebody who had at least a better understanding of how Washington worked. And I thought she might hit the ground running a little bit faster, and it was more of a practical thing.
I totally, and I think she's made a fabulous Secretary of State. And I have to ask you, because I saw this on Hardball, I don't know how much truth there is to it, but that doing the Joe Biden-Hillary swap so that Hillary can be VP and then she can be president for 8 years after that, I actually like this idea.
Who thought of that?
I don't know. It's been out there, but they're saying Joe Biden has always wanted to be Secretary of State, and I love the idea myself.
I don't mind it.
What's that?
I don't mind it.
There you go. And then we have Hillary for 8, and we're all happy.
There you go.
Rob, let's talk about the new movie, Flipped. God, you've got what a cast. Aidan Quinn, Penelope Ann Miller, Anthony Edwards, Rebecca De Mornay. You are so good at these sort of coming-of-age movies. Where do you get that focus from?
Well, you know, it's kind of, this picture is kind of like a companion to Stand By Me. And it's a time of your life. I mean, everybody goes through it when you're 12 going on 13. It's a very confusing time where, you know, you're experiencing, you know, love for the first time. You're going through, you know, we said at the end of Stand By Me, you never have friends like you do when you're 12 years old. And so it's a very a critical time in a person's life. So I read this book with my son, Nick, when he was 11 at the time. Now he's almost 17. And we read it together, and I was just knocked out by how insightful Gwendolyn Van Dranen, who wrote the book, was in terms of understanding what kids really go through. And Nick appreciated the book on a different level than I appreciated. We both loved it. And so he said, you know, Dad, I think this would make a great movie. And he was right. And it's the kind of movie that you can go with your kids and your grandparents. I mean, grandparents, parents, and kids can all get something out of it. Either you're going through it now, or you're remembering the time that you first fell in love.
Or maybe your maturity was stunted at that age, Rob Reiner, and that's why you're so good at portraying 12 to 13-year-olds.
Well, that could be, too. Yes, I've never made it past 12.
As I recall, I was getting over my David Cassidy fixation onto my Meathead fixation at that point in my life.
And you're only the third person today to call me that.
Oh. Way to go, Steph.
Tell us more about that. John Mahoney is in it as well, who I love.
Yeah, John Mahoney is absolutely brilliant. This guy is one of the great actors in America, and he is kind of the moral compass of the movie. He comes in, he plays the boy's grandfather, and he comes to live with them at a time when the boy is kind of veering off course, and he kind of puts him back on track and lets him see what's so great about this girl, Julie, that lives across the street. And what's wonderful about the film also is that it kind of flips, it literally flips back and forth between the boy's point of view and the girl's point of view, because I think as we realize, you know, boys and girls see things very, very differently, not only when you're 12, but I think throughout life we kind of were just fumbling around trying to figure out what's going on with the other side.
Listen, I gave up, clearly. But
clearly, yes. you might be smart about that.
The movie is called Flipped. It's now playing in select theaters, and if Rob Reiner directed it, you know it's great. You know that I don't know if you've heard on this show, I basically, my story, the way I think goes in terms of the American president. I cannot, your movie, The American President, for some reason, I think in lines from The American President.
Well, you also, I noticed, because I am an avid listener of your show, you also have things like Liar, you have that from Princess Bride, I noticed.
That comes in handy in right-wing world.
It sure does.
Yes, it does.
Liar! Liar!
Have fun storming the castle.
Very often.
Yes.
Well, the problem is, like, anytime you think of a movie line, the chances are Rob Reiner directed it. So what are the chances?
You can't handle the truth.
We have that one, too. If it weren't for you, I'd have no radio show. I'd have no
show. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Oh, my God.
But
I'll bet there's one that you don't have. What's... I mean, if you have this one, I'll go nuts. And that's my mother saying, I'll have what she's having.
We have the orgasm. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we only have the orgasm. But that's the punchline.
Oh, all right, we need to get Mrs. Reiner, for God's sake.
Okay, we'll get Mrs. Reiner.
We apologize, Rob Reiner.
Anybody want a peanut?
But, you know, give me one of the American president, because we have to end with this.
All right.
People want leadership, Mr. President. In the absence of genuine leadership, they'll listen to anyone who steps up to the microphone. They want leadership. They're so thirsty for it, they'll crawl through the desert toward a mirage, and when they discover there's no water, they'll drink the sand.
People don't drink the sand because they're thirsty. They drink the sand because they don't know the difference.
Are we at the drinking sand part of our life politically, Rob Reiner? Are you, I mean, with all of this stuff?
I think we're in a very, very strange place right now. People are so frightened, and it's a terrible thing when people are frightened, you know, because of the economy being so bad, that you tend to lash out at people that are not like you. I mean, it's a
Thank
classic
you.
Thing. We've seen it. But, you know,
right. If there's some something. I mean, this is why I'm sure you did your work on Prop 8. It's like, if there's something wrong with your marriage, it's the gay people. This time, it's like, if you don't have a job, it's the brown people in Arizona. Ooh, look, brown people at ground zero. You know, I mean, it's...
Exactly. And that's a very scary place to be in. But, I mean, when you have fear and you have, have economic crisis and you stoke fear, you go into very, you know, societies go into very strange places.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you, how are you feeling about November? I mean, is it, are you afraid for where we are, or do you think people are going to wake up?
I think the Democrats will probably take a hit, but I don't know that it'll be as bad a hit as people say it's going to be.
Yep. I look forward to seeing you and your lovely wife, Michelle, despite the fact that I spilled wine on Christine Lotti at your last party. I apologize
and
once
she
again.
She still has the dress. So you better be careful.
Uh-oh.
This could be a civil suit here.
Start wearing maroon.
Bring it on. Bring it on, meathead.
Jeez.
Rob Reiner, I love you and your wife, Michelle. Thanks so much for all your work out here, just to, you know, in general. And love you and miss you and hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes.
Hooray!
Rob Reiner, everybody. The director. He's basically the director of sound bites of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I keep forgetting how many movies he's directed.
We would have no sound bites if it weren't for Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way.
Ha! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, moments from Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang checking in from Florida. 25 minutes after the hour. By the way, this portion of the show brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie.
Great.
All right, we go now live where Glenn Beck is rehearsing his speech for tomorrow, I believe.
I have a scheme. I have a scheme today. A scheme that my children will not be judged by the green of their money, but by the content of their gold line accounts. Ah. I have a scheme today.
I'm tearing up already.
Please, note, I'm not standing on the step that Martin Luther King stood on. It's actually two steps down, so that makes it okay.
We just put that skit together magically. I go to meeting right before the... Skip.
Why did you need a GoToMeeting if you're sitting like 2 feet from each other?
Because I like GoToMeeting. I don't talk to Jim. We only communicate through computer.
It seems a
Could you just take your organ out for me, please?
Right away, Ms. Miller.
I have to read an email because it compares me to Jesus, which is being done so frequently lately. Mama's appearance on The Ed Show on MSNBC is up at stephaniemiller.com in the video section and the Facebook page. Ralph writes, Staff, your appearance on The Ed Show where you welcomed Ken Melman to the fight was really asking me to test my character, to forgive a trespasser. Your posture on this hypocrisy is more Jesus-like than anything I have witnessed lately. This is leading by example. Sincerely,
wow.
Ralph.
Really? You're
Jesus-like. Shut up, Jim.
Wow.
I am just like Jesus.
God, don't encourage her.
The drunk shall inherit the earth.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The gospel of Stephanie.
You're not like Jesus in any way, shape, or form.
Does it say that? The drunk shall inherit the earth? All right, I better stock up on the box wine then. All right. Mayor Michael Bloomberg commenting on the Muslim cabbie that was stabbed after being asked if he was... did you hear what the guy yelled, by the way? So when he said, you know, are you Muslim? And the guy said yes. He said, consider this your checkpoint, before he slashed him in the face and throat and whatever with a knife. Michael Bloomberg.
This should never have happened. Violence and being disrespectful to each other is not part of why America was formed.
Yeah, by the way, so Governor Patterson, who is against the, not a mosque, not a ground zero.
He wants it put in New Jersey.
I still love that Saturday Night Live impression. Oh, God.
He said the stabbing is one reason we need a unifying conversation about moving. No, we don't need to give in to bigotry like this. What, instead of simply condemning the attack and defending the right of Muslim Americans to live freely and safely, he took the opportunity to respond to the attack by plugging his plans to try to convince the developers to choose a different location. He said in the statement, this kind of violence is one of the reasons he called for a respectful and unifying conversation. I mean, this is exactly one of the reasons we're not having a respectful and unifying conversation. It's difficult to imagine how it would be respectful and unifying, one's report writes, to respond to a hate crime by imploring those targeted to consider giving in to the hate and relocating the Islamic Center. I mean, it's a little counterintuitive at best, if you ask me. By the way, there's been a California mosque targeted with an anti-Muslim sign.
Oh, boy.
No temple for the god of terrorism at Crown Zero. That's out here. Fresno Bee reports a brick thrown through the window of a Madeira Islamic Center last Friday. There have been repeated instances of hate directed against this particular mosque. Signs have been left with inflammatory messages, among others. All right. Fridays with Fuel Sing as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show next.
Stephanie Miller.
Listen, I'm sorry. Tonight was crazy, but I did hear the janitor saying that your boobs looked good.
What girl doesn't want to hear that?
Nighttime janitor's chatty. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Malisha writes, John Fugelsang has a very sexy voice. Is he as hot as he sounds? Oh, Malisha, hotter.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
Oh, and remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fugelsang.
City's on fire.
Oh, he's on fire.
They're killing nuns and soldiers. There's fighting on the border. What can I say back all day? They see this, it's January.
Good morning, Lady Moose.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
It is so nice to be back on your show. I miss you very much, Steppers.
Good morning, your hotness.
Oh, I know. Am I as hot as my voice? That's terrific. Well, I look like K.D. Lang, so
no,
that works.
Hot nonetheless. How's your mommy doing? You're down in Florida with your mommy.
I am. I was in San Francisco last weekend with our friend Mr. Sparks and had some great fun, and now I'm back down visiting my mom. My parents' anniversary was this week, so I came down to spend it with mom, and my mother's amazing. She's the strongest woman I know, and I'm very proud of her, and it's great to be back in Florida to celebrate Mr. Rick Scott being the Republican nominee for governor, so it's a pretty bizarre time to be in the state.
Eek. By the way, have we, Jim, how's that contest going to get Kendrick Meek a new name? That's like some sort of cartoon liberal name.
Hey, he's going to inherit the earth. Get off the guy's case, all right? You know, these Florida Republicans go to vote for governor, and it's like Bill McCollum or Rick Scott. Let's see, I could have the ferret-faced Clinton impeacher or the corporate criminal who ripped off taxpayers for billions. I'm going to go with the corporate criminal. Because he looks like Max Headroom had a kid with Preacher Kane from Poltergeist 2.
So are you, I imagine you're just packing to go up to the Glenn Beckapalooza in Washington tomorrow.
I'm very excited. I've been helping Glenn write his speech, I Have a Comp, and I hope you'll look forward to hearing that. Wasn't restoring honor what Bush and Cheney ran on in 2000? What are they restoring honor? Who took the honor? I don't really understand. I love hearing white people say they're going to reclaim the civil rights movement. Yeah. I heard Dr. Laura's going to give a speech where she demands that white people be allowed to say the N-word as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, in 400 years of Americans' history, it's been white people telling black folks what they can't do. You can't go off the plantation. You can't be free. You can't vote. Okay, you can vote, but you can't sit at this counter. You can't drink out of this water fountain. Black folks have asked white people in 400 years not to do one thing. Don't say the N-word.
Just don't
and
say that
really
word.
It's really easy, yeah. Dr. Laura. It's very easy to get through your day. I say it 6 times a day, tops.
I understand some of the things featured at the Beckapalooza choir performances and quote-unquote literature distribution. So it might be actually those the Mein Kampf pamphlets. I'm not really sure what sort of literature will be, you know.
I don't know. I heard it's going to be pamphlets with the Christmas sweater, I guess, laid out. But I'm looking forward to it. It should be very interesting. I want to see the turnout. And it's also really fun to see how many righties are furious on various Glenn Beck pages. The Facebook page has been scrubbing them fast, but there have been so many anti-Dr. King postings, calling him a communist, and so many anti-Lincoln postings as well. Glenn is actually alienating a good bit of his fan base.
Yeah, I love it. By the way, the Tea Partier that advised Beck rally goers to stay off the green and yellow lines in Washington, because that's where the icky people live.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Majors is his name. Is this guy? He's, among other things...
We have the technology. We can make him better.
No, not that guy.
Oh, okay.
He posted a picture on his Facebook page comparing First Lady Michelle Obama to Chewbacca from Star Wars. See, it's that really hilarious, look how much, ooh, it's like a black person, like an ape, ah-ha-ha-ha, kind of humor. And,
it's so sad when you think about how Glenn Beck comes out and says that, you know, social justice is communist. Well, I mean, so is Jesus. And, you know, there's no greater practitioner of social justice in the last 50 years of our country than Dr. King. When he died, his career was not about racial equality. His career was about organized labor. He died going to speak at a garbage man's boycott. And, you know, Dr. King was all about poverty, more so than by the end of his career, even more so than nonviolence, another thing that Glenn Beck has never exactly embraced. So I don't really know what exactly he admires about Dr. King, other than Dr. King liked women and Glenn Beck likes to cry like one. I don't really see where else.
You know, I mean, but it's like, it's interesting, the same kind of, whether you call it race baiting, fear mongering, dividing. I mean, we were just talking about the Muslim cab driver that got stabbed in New York. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of this rhetoric ends in real violence. You know, like Jim said, I guess no one will see the irony of bringing a gun to on the anniversary of a Martin Luther King speech. You know?
It's true. And again, you know, pointing out that this guy who stabbed the cab driver, it's such a sad, disgusting story. And we talked about the mosque a lot last week, or rather the Cordoba House. There's a mosque in it. It's got a mosque and a theater and meeting rooms and a Pinkberry and 10 Starbucks and whatever. But
I worship at the altar of Pinkberry. That, to me, is sacred ground.
I know. And by the way, as far as sacred ground goes, if they found oil under Ground Zero, we'd see how sacred that ground was really quick.
Yeah, look out the wrecking ball.
Sacred is one of these words that people who aren't really very spiritual like to throw around to stifle debate, you know, like sanctity or sacred or hallowed ground. They don't actually know what these words mean. They just sound superstitious and they stifle debate. According to the book of Exodus, it's only hallowed ground if God himself has shown up and stood on it. So, again, this is just a bunch of superstitious crap. The great thing about this is it's the liberals who are the conservatives on this issue. Mm-hmm. It's the liberals who are arguing for religious freedom and right to assembly. And remind all your conservative friends, Steph freaks, that it's you guys are the conservatives on this issue, and
well,
the people protesting are the radical anti-free speech, anti-American.
Just like, you know, as we've been talking about Prop 8 this morning and Ken Melman, I mean, it's the conservative argument. for gay marriage. And I have to say, by the way, as the ecclesiastical mook, you'll have to comment, the letter just compared me to Jesus for my forgiving stance on judge not lest I be judged on Ken Melman. What's your take on
it? I think that you're like Jesus in that you both had beards.
And you speak as one of them.
Exactly. I'm going to be a little bit not like Jesus right now and say that the GOP does have a big tent and Ken Melman is the big taint.
No,
I'm really sorry. You know, I like the former, of course, Ken Melman, the former RNC chair, just realized he was gay, as opposed to the current one, who still hasn't realized he's black. But for the record, I have pets who knew this guy was gay back when he was running some of the most brutal anti-gay baiting campaigns in the Republican Party's recent history. This man lined his pockets while allowing gay Americans to be demonized and slandered and vilified and promoting vicious, hateful anti-gay legislation. I'm all about forgiveness, but as far as I'm concerned, the gay community can accept Ken Melman when he gives every penny he made slandering gay Americans to charities for LGBT teens and not a second earlier. This guy got rich off of homophobia.
Yeah, I'd like him to get to do some work with me on the Trevor Project, you know, on the Trevor Hotlines, counseling gay kids that are, you know, considering suicide.
Yeah, I'd like to see it, too, because this guy's got 30 pieces of silver he's got to start spreading around to redeem himself. You know, really, we knew Ken was gay for a long time. Of course, I'm sure you talked about how Bill Maher mentioned it on Larry King, and that was censored back in 06. Everyone's known it for a long time. This is which way the wind is blowing, and I'm sorry. I don't think it was very brave of Ken Melman. I think it was an act of cowardice. The moment for him to be brave was to stand up against Karl Rove, and instead he did just the opposite. So I have very little respect for the guy. I applaud you for your gracious warmth towards him. And, of course, you know, God bless him, and I hope that he's okay. But the guy's going to get a real education now, because I can guarantee he's going to start losing friends in his own party. And, again, you know, he's another guy who made a lot of money hurting a lot of gay Americans.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that I don't get, is him saying, I'm still a Republican. You know, once again, they hate you. And, you know, and secondly, it seems like he's still trying to get people to vote Republican by scaring them, this time about terrorism. Did you hear him say that? That, oh, well, you know, I don't understand, because, you know, we're still better protecting you from terrorists killing you. It's like, oh, man, come on.
Well, yeah, it's apparently the guy was just out of options for you know. And again, people come out of the closet when it's their time, and God bless them, and no one should be dragged out of it. I certainly believe that. However, when you're hurting the gay community, when you're setting the gay community back, and when you're making tons of personal profit off of this kind of slander, his terrorism thing is just more Republican fear-mongering. And again, you're right, he's part of a party that despises him. And worse than that, I think a lot of the higher-ups in the Republican Party don't give a damn about whether you're gay or not. Just use the homophobia of their followers to consolidate their power, and that's even worse than being ignorant. That's using ignorance.
Did you, that's what I was saying, it is amazing what's happening now in terms of, you know, them just picking, it's like bullies picking the next scapegoat, you know what I mean? It's just, I think now that the tide has turned and it shows majority support in the country now for gay marriage, it's interesting, this preacher that's burning the Korans, did you see this on September 11th? The pastor was on Hardball yesterday, and one of the reasons he cited, he said, well, Chris, you know, Muslims stone gay people to death. Like, he's doing it because of gay rights? That's why. It's like, you hate gay people. I mean,
you're going to hear, I have a lot of Islamophobic Republican friends who make the same argument because they hate gays so much, and they ignore what their own party does.
Yeah.
Now, this whole guy.
Yeah, like you fought for gay rights. Oh, please, right?
Yeah. And this guy at the Gainesville Dove Church, you know, first off, I have no problem with them burning the Korans as long as they agree to do it with German accents. That would be adorable. This would be no different than if Jews burned New Testaments every year on Kristallnacht. These guys who attacked the World Trade Center did not represent real Islam any more than Timothy McVeigh represented real Christianity. Muslims were killed that day. There were Muslim EMTs were killed that day responding to the scene to help people. And, you know, freedom means tolerance of stuff you don't like other religions or flag burning or Katy Perry. You have to...
Well, and just because, you know, we shouldn't aspire to be, Saudi Arabia or Iran at this point. But, I mean, you know, the fact that it's not our policy to stone gay people doesn't mean that, you know, our right-wing Taliban hasn't caused some of that. Ask Matthew Shepard's family, right?
Exactly. And if you want a country with no gays and with no abortion that's founded on conservative religious values, let me buy you a one-way ticket to Iran right now, because that's how it works. This whole conflict is our right-wing conservative fundamentalist religious people against their right-wing fundamentalist conservative religious people, and the vast majority of non-douchebag Christians, Jews, and Muslims get along just fine.
Spoken like the ecclesiastical mook that you are. John Fugel saying, give your mommy a kiss from all of us. We'll see you next Friday.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you and all the other 310 million tits on the milk cow next week.
All right.
And John is going to be filling in for us when we go on vacation.
Oh, that's right. The week after next. All right.
I can't wait.
Love you. Miss you already.
I'll see you soon.
Okay,
see
bye.
You.
All right, there he goes.
Great.
45 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack has Levi Johnson and news about Brian Williams' penis. So you cannot go away.
What?
You cannot go away. 46 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys, moron.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get delirious whenever you meet. Lose all self-control, baby, just to steal. I get delirious.
Friday's all about getting delirious. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, don't forget Monday. It's another big, big show. We got the Rude Pundit and... Mondays with McClurg returns. Edie McClurg.
Hooray!
Back from the set, as they say in the movie business.
Her first starring role in a movie.
Wow.
She is magic.
Yep.
Although many people think that she was Super Christian Diane this week when she called one of our callers. I think that was a skit. I don't even think she was real. That was Edie.
She does do the voice in one of our PSAs that we run.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I guess Super Christian Diane was real. I don't know. 1-800, who can tell? I think it was Betty Bowers, America's Best Christian. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Wow, well, there's some breaking news in the breaking news. Stack. Delisted writing NBC's Brian Williams comments on his penis size.
Excuse me?
Apparently this was from an Elle magazine.
Elle magazine.
Yes. Elle magazine said, I have a close friend in D.C. who still wears pleats, the pants. His wife confessed to my wife that he couldn't move to flat fronts because his penis was just too large. Brian Williams said, well, I'm with him. It's a huge issue.
I didn't read that in the article.
That's where it came from. Delisted writing. I'm going to keep this short, unlike Brian Williams' peen. Basically, the man who gives the news every night on NBC has a big... so big he could give the NBC peacock a concussion just by whipping that out. So big that people refer to it as a feller center. Brian Williams talked to Andrew Goldman for Elle magazine and eventually touched on the topic closest to every rich preppy Brooke Brothers covered heart, khakis. Brian said that he only wears pleated khakis, which led Andrew to put 2 inches and 2 inches and 2 inches and 2 inches together. Is there a comment from Tom Brokaw? Of course there is.
This is Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Big news from internationally lauded journalistic outlet, Delisted. Not. My successor, Brian Williams, apparently has an unusually large lingam, so much so that he cannot wear plain front pantaloons. He has to recycle his ridiculously voluminous triple-pleated khakis from the 80s to hide his elephantine endowment, a unit normally reserved for livestock. Who wrote this bull crap? I mean, really, sounds like something that came from Ken Melman's scrapbook. Like I needed another reason to hate Brian Williams, longhead.
Thank you. Okay.
I think he was referring to the wife of a friend of his who only wears pleated khakis.
No, you can wear non-pleated khakis if they fit properly, if you have a large...
Apparently nothing fits Brian Williams' enormous manhood. Fred in Asheville.
That's not true.
It's from Elle magazine. And delisted.
Yes, Fred. Speaking of Mel Holman. Hello, Fred.
Speaking of enormous manhood,
yes.
I want to be addressed as Big Fred.
All right, North Big
Carolina.
Fred. So noted.
I'm
uh-huh.
6'4", 270 pounds. You can call me anything I want.
Well, hello. Go ahead, Fred.
It goes into what else I want to say. I think you forgive Ken Melman all too quickly. I feel like commissioning a bumper sticker that says, yeah, I voted for Obama. You want to fight about it? I'm tired of being nice.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get mean and get nasty. I think we all need to start, all of us Democrats anyway, need to work towards being a little meaner.
Well, you can do that, but I can't. You know why? Because I'm just like Jesus.
You're only like right. Jesus in that you drink the Jesus juice.
Shut up, you bastard. I'm just like Jesus. All right. I get one of those emails. It's my new thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You latch onto it like a
there
dog with a rawhide.
Oh, by the way, what I am is always right, which I know it gets, it really does. It's hard to be the brightest girl in
every
room.
What'd you do now?
I told you Levi Johnson, all the original stuff he said about Sarah Palin was true. He just apologized because he thought he was going to marry what's-her-name again. Levi Johnson, the father of Sarah Palin's grandson, says he wishes he hadn't apologized for telling lies about the Alaska government because he's never lied about anything. Ha! I told you!
Or he could be lying about this.
Remember when
that's
he said,
true.
I forget? No, he's not. You know all the stuff he said was true.
No, you only hope
he
it's
was trying
true.
To get back in the family fold. He said, I don't really regret anything. The only thing I wish I wouldn't have done is put out that apology because it kind of makes me sound like a liar. I never lied about anything, so that's probably the only thing. The rest of the stuff I can live with. He says he hopes he'll be a better mayor of Wasilla than Palin. I can't guarantee or promise you, but I'm going to try. What could it take to be a better mayor than her? Didn't she leave the city in, like, zillions of dollars of debt, and she built an ice rink that they didn't buy the land for first?
Yeah.
Dear God. All right. By the by, guess who's going to be on, what you call it, the Dancing with the Has-Beens?
Yes.
Bristol.
Yes, I
Frisco
heard that.
Frisco Palin is going to be on the new Dancing with the Stars.
Along with Florence Henderson and The Situation.
Oh,
the
my
Sitch
God.
From Jersey Shore. David Hasselhoff and Michael Bolton.
Oh, wow.
You betcha. Okay.
Oof.
Wow.
And people watch that? I don't watch that, so I don't get the appeal.
Here's a weird story from D-Listed. Gary Busey is a hero.
Huh?
Finally, there's some news that will make you want to kiss Gary Busey's jumbo mouth chiclets. TMZ says earlier this week he came upon a major car wreck in Malibu, and he immediately jumped into action. Police sources say he called 911, then stopped traffic by blinding drivers with his smile. Gary even stayed with one of the injured until the ambulance pulled up. That's nice, but kind of a nightmare. If you're in a car wreck and you look up and it's Gary Busey.
Ah, Gary Busey. I'm here to help. Oh,
jeez.
That's okay. I'll just lie here.
It's okay. I'm not sure about that. Wow. All right. One more of the from D-Listed. Cops catch a woman in a car with a mobile party on her lap. This is embarrassing when this happens. When Officer Ross Gilbert pulled over a car in Ohio for illegally tinted windows, the last thing he expected to see was the driver committing a DWJ, driving while jacking. But that's exactly what he found. Officer Ross tells Cincinnati.com he got an eyeful of Calandra Hamilton sitting with her pants unzipped and a sex toy.
Wow.
On her,
on her lap.
Lap, on her lap.
Sure.
Sure, that's just resting on her lap.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Uh-huh. Since she didn't even bother trying to hide the mobile party going on in her lap. She also admitted she was not alone in the car and admitted to the officer that her passenger held a laptop up with porn playing on it so she could get a good
even
look.
Even better.
Yeah. That's, you know, a little worse than texting, I think.
Yeah. And what I didn't send you was her mugshot.
Oh. Do tell.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
Mm. What's all that look
like? She's a handsome woman.
She's a handsome woman.
That's the funniest story since, what was that? What's that Sharon Stone remake that she was, you know, she's having an orgasm while she's driving off a bridge in a car in the first scene?
Right.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen, ever. Was it Basic Instinct 2? Something, right?
No, you're the only person in the world that saw Basic Instinct 2.
I know! It's worth it for the opening scene. Rent it this weekend. Oh my gosh, she's having an orgasm and like laughing maniacally, and then she drives off a bridge while just, it's, 16 kinds of great. All right, there's my weekend recommendation. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.